Hey folks, Dan Friel here with your rate update. So I decided that I'm going to get back to doing this on a daily basis to help those out there that really want this information, because I saw my count drop substantially and a lot of people were emailing me saying, Dan, you know, how do we support you? Can we subscribe to a Patreon page and things like that? So we're working on that. But in the meantime, I'm going to come back to you guys for those out there that really want this data. And if you want any additional data that you really want me to talk about, please put it in the comments down below. But you have my word, I'm going to get away from predicting home prices because I don't know what's going to go on and nobody else does. And a lot of people that say they do, they really don't. And if they knew for a fact, they would be billionaires because they would short certain markets and so forth. So remember the last housing crash? There was people that made billions of dollars during the crash while a lot of us lost our homes and everything else. So there's two sides to this coin. So let's get over to it. What you're seeing on your screen right now is the screen that I watch on a daily basis telling me what's going on with mortgage rates. You can see a whole bunch of other information down here, live tickers and the so forth. But this is way overkill for you guys. So I decided to do this on a daily basis again so I can provide this information for you. You can watch an 8-10 minute video to get the gist of what the economic news is for today and then make your decisions on what you decide to do. Okay, so if you want to follow this along, if you're interested in stocks, cryptocurrencies, the bond market, real estate and everything, I'm going to try to answer all those questions for you. I am not a financial planner. I'm not a financial advisor. These are my opinions. So don't trade on them because I'm not liable for any of that because I'm not licensed to do that. I'm just giving you my opinions and this is for educational purposes only. So now that all that legal mumbo jumbo is behind us, what in the world's going on right now? So basically what you're seeing right now is the Federal Reserve. Yes, we know inflation's out of whack, but what is happening? So here's what's really happening behind the scenes. And a lot of people don't know some of this data that we're going to go over today. I'm going to go over the money supply with you today, how that's really starting to come back down. I'm going to show you consumer debt. I'm going to show you consumer disposable income so we can get an idea. Are people going to invest? Are people going to start holding back? Are people going to lose their jobs? What in the world is going on? So we can make prudent decisions when it comes to our finances. So let's get on to it. The economic calendar, what I do on a daily basis, I check out the economic calendar because that's actually going to gauge us and what, you know, what the markets are going to do. Okay, so what we had yesterday and today, you might have said, man, the stock market just plummeted yesterday. What happened? Well, Federal Chairman Powell came out, and every month or after every Federal Reserve meeting, he meets or sits down in front of Congress, and most of them grandstand. But a lot of them ask him prudent information. So we got a little information out of him yesterday that a lot of people might have just whipped past their heads. So they are predicting that they're going to increase rates even more now. Okay, so I still think it's going to be short term. They might do a quick bump up higher than we all thought, but there is a recession looming. I say we were in a brief one last year, but I kind of have a really good inkling that we're coming into one. Why? I talk to manufacturers. One of my best friends runs a huge manufacturing company. I talk with him. Sales are starting to deplete. I know people in logistics. They're saying the truck orders are starting to deplete. I know people in the food industry. They're saying, you know, what's killing them is wages and labor costs. It's not, you know, shortage of chickens or anything. It's cost of labor. And that's in our crosshairs today. So let's really break down this economic news, and then we're going to go segment by segment to show you guys what's going on with the money supply in the economy, what consumer debt's doing, what foreclosures are looking like, so we can get an idea, you know, are people in a really bad situation? This could be a repeat of 2008. Let's figure this out. So let's go through the economic calendar we have right here. Federal Chairman Powell testified yesterday and continues today. So you're going to see the markets volatile, really volatile today throughout his speeches. But then what we also have is ADP payroll numbers. You're going to see that right in here. Okay. I still take the ADP payroll numbers with a grain of salt. Why? They changed their model last year to a different model that they've used for years and years and years. And they still get this number completely wrong every time. So I'm going to throw this out right now. But what this number looks like is previously the number came in. There was 119,000 jobs created in the week. The expectations for this period was 200,000 jobs, came in at 242. So they're 20% off. So I'm still not saying if I was 20% off of something, you guys would be all over me. So their numbers are really bad. Hate to say it. You'll see in Federal Chairman Powell, he's testifying. And then the JOLT index. Now the JOLT index is interesting. What the JOLT index is how many job openings there are. Okay. So right now we have almost two job openings for every person looking. Okay, that's really big. So that allows people to be able to move and, you know, in their career to a different job, because employers are really hungry for somebody to take that job. So they're increasing wages to draw in people. Well, just like the Federal Reserve did when they start sending out a ton of money over 2019, 2020, and 2021. And I'm going to show you my data to show you there was way too much money pushed out into the system. And that is also another culprit of what created this inflation, as well as supply chain issues and everything else. So let's just take a backdrop real quick on what happened over the last couple of years. So the world shut down. So basically nothing was being manufactured. Okay. The world also shut down. People couldn't go out to see movies. They couldn't go out to bars. They couldn't go out to restaurants. They couldn't go out to anything for entertainment. So they're stuck in their house, but they still have money to spend. So what do? They jump onto Amazon. They buy Peloton bikes and all this other stuff. And they're just buying, because they have a ton of disposable income. Because just think, if you never went out to dinner for a year and you didn't go to the movies and you didn't go out to the bars and everything, how much money would you have saved? Well, fortunately, people saved a bunch of money up front, and then they just start spending it and spending it and spending it. And then now people still continue to overspend, but they don't have the money and they're running out. And I'm going to show you all this based on the information that we have. Okay, so let's get over to it. The rest of the week, we have crude oil came in. There's minus 1.69 million barrels out there. I'm not even going to watch this anymore, because a few weeks ago, we had oil supplies way exceeding. There were 16 million extra barrels of oil. Did you really see oil prices or gas prices plummet? Here's an interesting thought. I was on my way to work today. I passed probably 20 different gas stations. The gas prices ranged from $3.39 to $3.87. 50 cents, and I have a 10-mile drive to work. So you guys want to talk about housing being all over the map. I just, on my jaunt of a 10-mile trek, I saw gas prices that big of variances. So look at the percentages there. It's huge. All right. So the next thing we see is Thursday, we're going to come out with the initial jobless claims. That's by the government. I take that with, you know, a thumbs up. And then on Friday, we're really going to get the employment numbers, and that comes from the government. I'm not going to predict on that, but you can see right here, the previous reading they had was 517,000 new jobs were created. They're saying there's going to be about 200,000. I hope it's that, and I hope it starts really coming down, because this is really where the Federal Reserve is monitoring right now. So let's get over here. Job openings declined in January, but still far outnumber the available workers. So if you're an employer, you're struggling to find employees right now, you have to up your wages to attract employees. That is wage inflation. It's hard to go back to an employee and say, you know what, we're going to cut your wages now, because you're probably going to lose that employee. So wage inflation is really, really sticky right now. And that was my biggest concern. But I thought people would start going back to work. But they're going to have to start getting back to work, because I'm going to show you some information coming up right here shortly that's going to be like, should be eye-opening for you. So here's the jobs numbers. Job openings right here. Here's how many job openings there are. So you can see through here, go through, and then all of a sudden you see this huge spike. Well, that was during the pandemic when nobody could go to work. Let me get me out of the way, and I will show you the rest of the chart. So you can see over here, look at how this is right now. There's a lot of people that need to get back to work. So why are they not going back to work? Well, there's a lot of reasons. The money supply has been increasing tremendously. This is where the Federal Reserve stepped in. So let's go through what the normal money supply looks like. It's normally a gradual chart through, and I'll just go to max. All right, it's usually a gradual chart. But then let's look at all of a sudden right through here, it increased a lot, and then bam, look at this, an anomaly. It just basically just skyrocketed straight up. Okay, that's the money supply. That's when the federal government and the Federal Reserve was just pumping money out to everybody and everybody to try to make the economy keep ticking. What they didn't realize, they didn't need as much stimulus as they did. So now let's look at this piece of the puzzle. Now this is U.S. real disposable income. How much money people have in their pockets, in the bank accounts. Look through here. Here's a perfect example where I said the government overdid it. Here's consumer disposable income. Okay, this is from 2014 all the way to now. Is there something that stands out to you? It goes along, and then boom. All of a sudden, the pandemic hits. Well, how did people have the most money that they've ever had in history in the bank when the whole world was shut down? Okay, well, the government overdid it. People didn't have to make mortgage payments. Remember the when I was kept saying, well, this is going to come to haunt us because the forbearance, the student loan forgiveness. So you got to realize during the pandemic, people didn't have to make a mortgage payment, or most people didn't have to make a mortgage payment. So they had that much in disposable income. They also didn't have to make student loan payments. So if you didn't have a house payment and student loan payments, what would you do? And you're sitting in your house going crazy. You'd continue to spend and spend and spend. So people got a ton of money, and then all of a sudden, look at it, it just plummeted. Well, you know, the world was still shut down. So what happened? Well, they kept spending and spending and spending. Now, let me get over to this chart to just show you here is what's going on with credit card debt. Well, look through this chart here, and you're going to go through time. Let me give you the time frames down below, and I'll get myself out of the mix again. Okay, here's what you're going through time. Here's where the credit card debt is. Goes through, right? All the way down. And then look right through here. In 2020, it started from there, and it just keeps going up and up and up. You're going to see that right through here, okay? So that's proof that people had tons of money right here, and they continue to spend, and they continue to spend, putting it on credit. Well, the good news is they still have money in disposable income, so they're still, look at this chart, it's still going back to 2020 and 2019 range. So people still have some money, but it's been depleted quite a bit. Okay, so now the next piece of the puzzle we want to look at is foreclosures. Now, a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines saying foreclosures are going to skyrocket. I don't understand why, unless it comes out that there we hit a recession, basically everything starts to really plummet, sales come tumbling down and everything else, and then employers need to lay off. I don't think that's the case because so many companies right now are working on a shoestring budget that they can't really get rid of any more people. Okay, you see, on your way to work every day, if you're traveling to work or if you're in any travels, if you go past a manufacturing area of your community, I can almost assure you every other company, if not every company, has a help wanted sign on. They're going to start pulling those back as people stop spending as much as they are. So we are going to have a slowdown, and it's going to be pretty impactful very soon here. The next thing you're going to see here is, let's get to this here. Here is how much rents have increased. Now, I want to get to the housing side of the equation. I know I'm all over the map today, but I want to condense all this into, I want to hit a bunch of topics so you guys understand what's going on. The housing market is still in disarray. And the reason why I always talk about housing is I'm in the real estate business. I'm a mortgage advisor. So if you need any assistance in a mortgage, you're looking for try to get pre-approved for a house. If you're having trouble with your student loan payments and you can't qualify for a mortgage, reach out to us. We have help for you there. If you have some credit issues and you need some assistance there, let us know. We can help you there. Anywhere in the country, we have a service where we can vet realtors in your area to find you the best realtor out there. So there's a lot of services that we provide. Why I'm passionate about trying to help people understand the housing market is we want to talk about housing payments, okay? Payments. So everybody says, you know, housing prices are skyrocketing. They are. Interest rates are way up. They are. But let's look at another fact. If you're renting, you're at the mercy of your landlord, okay? We just went over it. People have extra money. They're staying at home more. They can't really get out much. So they're spending more and more time at their homes. So now the landlords kind of have you. And the last couple of years, there was a lot of videos out there and a lot of information out there, people getting really pissed off about investors buying up properties. Here's why. Right on your screen. Look at this. This is just how much rents have increased over a one-year period. Look in Florida, 22%. You imagine your rent payment going up 22% in a year, then maybe the next year it goes up 5 or 10%, then the next year it goes up 5%. You just went up 30 or 40% within a 2 or 3 year time frame. If you purchase a house, and I'm not saying it's a perfect time for you out there, but you're locking in your payments. You could possibly refinance down the road. Over history, every 5 to 7 years, people refinance because rates come down, the markets cycle. So that's what you're seeing. But look at here. Here's where rents have increased. And these are the top, I don't know how many of these are, but look at this. They go range from 22% in Florida, Tennessee, 16, or 18, South Dakota, 18, New York, 18, North Carolina, 18. It goes down. Even in areas like Indiana, Nevada, Kentucky, Maine, Ohio, they're in the double digits. Do you imagine if your rent went up double digits year after year? It's only going to take you maybe 5 years for your rent to double. Double. Think about it. So that's why I want to try to educate people on home ownership. It's not saying, you know, is the market going to come down? It might. Probably in some areas, especially you see areas that went up maybe 50, 60% in the last 2 years. Yeah, they're going to take a hit. But if you're in your property and you plan to stay there at least 5 years, you should be okay. And the benefit there is you're locking in your payments. So that's my economic news for today. If you like this, please give me some ideas down below what you want me to focus in on. I'd love to do that. And I'll be back on a daily basis starting next week. I'm going to put all this, start accumulating all my data so I can give you guys valuable information that you need on a daily basis. So thanks for watching, guys. If you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, it is down below. I don't sell it or anything. You can subscribe to that and you'll get news like this on a daily basis. You get a newsletter every day and every week to summarize the week, and you'll get much more data than that. And there's a whole bunch of other tools down below that you can use as well. So if you like the video, all I ask you to do is give me a thumbs up, subscribe down below, and hit the bell. Every time I post a video, you'll get an alert. Take care, guys. God bless. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.